Okay, so are you ready to go on a little adventure with me today?
Always up for an adventure.
All right, excellent. The Church of Tinkerbell podcast.
Faith, imagination, the power of belief.
Love and acceptance to make the world a better place.
What would happen if we all just tried to see the world through the eyes of a child again, even for a moment?
It's a beautiful thought, isn't it?
It is.
The Church of Tinkerbell.
The Church of Tinkerbell. All right, I'm intrigued.
Hey, everyone, and welcome into something I think a lot of us, especially parents and educators, think about a lot. Representation in kids' shows. We see a lot of articles about how it's good for kids to see themselves on screen, but we're going to go a little deeper here.
Yeah, for sure.
We'll be looking at specific shows like Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood, Sesame Street, even PJ Masks.
Yeah.
To really unpack how they're shaping perceptions and influencing those young viewers.
Mm-hmm.
Our jumping off point is an article from the Church of Tinkerbell blog called The Power of Representation, How Inclusive Children's Programs Shape a Better World.
Right.
But of course, we'll be adding our own two cents as we go.
Yeah, it's a big topic. I mean, think about it. It's more than just entertainment at that age, right?
Right.
Kids are like literally building their understanding of the world and themselves, like in the world during these years.
Yeah.
What they see or what they don't see,
right,
has a huge impact psychologically.
Yeah. And that idea of representation, I think, is something the article really gets at. You know, that when a kid sees their own experience, their family, their maybe their differences mirrored back to them, there's this sense of validation. Oh, mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
My life, my family, my differences, they're not weird. They're, you know,
yeah.
They're on TV. And I think that sense of belonging is really crucial.
Absolutely. And for so long, kids' media was this very limited, almost idealized
right.
version of the world. Right.
Yeah.
But the real world, I mean, come on. It's full of different cultures and family structures and abilities and identities.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we reflect that?
Right. And the article really highlights Sesame Street as kind of a pioneer in this area. I mean, they've been on the air, since 1969?
Wow. Yeah.
And they were incorporating diverse characters long before it was, trendy or expected.
Way ahead of the curve. And, you know, it wasn't just like, oh, let's have a character in a wheelchair. You know, they really thought about, okay, how do we show the nuances?
Yeah.
Like, think about Julia, the autistic Muppet.
Right.
They showed how she interacts differently, how her friends accept her and support her. You know, that kind of thing can be so powerful, especially for autistic kids and their families.
Yeah. And in the article, there's this really touching anecdote about a parent who cried when their autistic daughter really connected with Julia on screen.
Oh, wow.
Like, it was this huge moment of validation. Like, okay, finally, my kid's experience is being seen and acknowledged and even celebrated.
Yeah.
That's got to feel amazing for a parent.
I bet. Sesame Street has really, like, normalized differences and challenged stereotypes for what, generations now?
Yeah.
You know, introducing characters of different races, ethnicities, abilities, and it just makes it feel like that's just the world, you know?
Yes. It's normal, yeah. But I do wonder if there's a point where the constant highlighting of differences, even if it's coming from a good place, if it can almost backfire a little.
Oh, interesting.
You know? Like, does it risk making those differences the defining characteristic?
Oh, I see.
Of a character rather than, you know, just one part of who they are.
That's a really good point. It's something to think about for sure. The goal is to move beyond just token representation and have these characters be like fully fleshed out, you know, with the strengths and weaknesses and dreams and fears, just like anyone.
Right. Characters who just happen to be different, not characters who are like defined by their difference.
Exactly.
And the article also talks about Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood, which a lot of people know for its focus on kindness and empathy.
Oh yeah, that's a good one.
It's almost like a continuation of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood in a way.
Oh, totally. And it deals with some like complex stuff like disability, racial diversity, emotional intelligence, but in a way that little kids can understand.
Yeah. I remember one episode where Daniel's friend Chrissy, who uses crutches, wanted to run in this race.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't make it like, you know, a thing about her disability. It was just about her determination, her friends being supportive.
Right.
It was just a nice lesson in inclusion without being preachy.
And that's the key, right? It's not about like avoiding these differences, but just showing them in a way that feels natural and part of life.
Now, you might be thinking, well, these are, you know, gentle educational shows. What about action cartoons? You know, is there space for diversity there?
Yeah, good point.
And the article obviously brings up PJ Masks.
Okay.
Which is, you know, this superhero show with a racially diverse main cast.
Right.
And it just normalizes that idea that, you know, anyone can be a hero, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And there's Bluey too, which has started showing characters with disabilities and different family structures just as part of the everyday stories. Mm. It's subtle, but it's a great example of how you can weave inclusion into any type of story.
It's like we're moving away from that very special episode about diversity to the world where it's just part of the storytelling.
Exactly. It's becoming the new normal, which is like what we want, right?
Exactly. There was a quote in the article that I really that really resonated with me. It said, "Your experiences are real and important. You are not alone. You deserve to be seen, heard, and understood."
Mm.
And I feel like that just perfectly captures the power of representation.
Yeah.
It's like you're validating a kid's lived experience and making them feel less alone in the world.
Yeah, because when kids see themselves, you know, in the shows and movies they watch, it can help them, you know, with their self-esteem and developing a strong sense of who they are.
Yeah, it makes them feel like they belong.
Exactly. And that's so important for, you know, mental health and well-being and all that.
And it also helps them, I think, develop empathy for others.
Oh, for sure.
Who might be different from them.
Yeah.
You know, we often underestimate how much kids' media really impacts their worldview.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not just entertainment. It's like it's planting seeds for a more inclusive, a more compassionate society.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's amazing how those shows can get those conversations started, you know, about like acceptance and understanding, even at a young age.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, as we were saying, there's still a lot of work to do.
Right.
The whole landscape of representation is, like, always changing.
Yeah. And it's interesting, even with all the progress that's been made, you know, you still see certain groups that are underrepresented or portrayed in a way that feels, you know, stereotypical.
Right.
And the article specifically mentions LGBTQIA plus families.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just enough to have, like, the token gay couple, right?
Mm-hmm.
We need to see, you know, all those diverse families represented.
Absolutely. And we need to go beyond just like token representation for other groups too, like, you know, neurodiversity.
Mm-hmm.
We see some progress with characters like Julia on Sesame Street, but, you know, there's a whole spectrum of neurodiversity out there.
Yeah, it's about making sure that kids from all different backgrounds, all different experiences can see themselves reflected in the stories, you know, so they can feel seen and understood.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also curious, I mean, you know, obviously representation is important, but is there a risk of like focusing so much on identity that we lose sight of other important things, you know?
Oh, that's interesting.
Like, could it lead to essentialism where we're, you know, defining people just by their group affiliations?
That's a good point. I mean, the goal isn't to like make a checklist of identities and just make sure every box is ticked, right?
Yeah.
It's about creating characters who are, you know, well-rounded and nuanced, mm-hmm. and they just happen to represent different, you know, backgrounds and experiences.
Yeah, it's like finding that balance, right?
Yeah.
Where we're acknowledging and celebrating differences without reducing individuals to those differences.
Right. We need characters who are like complex, who have challenges, who make mistakes and, you know, who grow.
And that takes, you know, some really good, thoughtful storytelling.
Yeah.
Where those identities are woven in naturally, not just like, you know,
an
afterthought.
Not just like, oh, we need to add a character who's this, you know?
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think it's also important to remember that this isn't just about, you know, entertainment. It's about creating a more just and equitable society.
Absolutely. When kids see, you know, all these different characters and storylines, it can help them develop that empathy and understanding for others who might be different from them.
Yeah. It helps like break down those barriers and prejudices that can lead to discrimination and inequality later in life.
Exactly. It's like planting those seeds early on
for
a more inclusive and compassionate world.
Yeah. And it makes me think, you know, how do we how do we actually make this happen? I mean, how do we move from just saying, oh yeah, more inclusive storytelling to actually, you know, seeing it?
Right. How do we make it a reality?
The article says it starts with awareness.
Mm.
We need to be more aware of the messages our kids are getting and look for content that reflects our values.
And support the creators, right? Yeah. The networks that are actually committed to this, to diversity and inclusion, both on screen and behind the scenes too.
Right, yeah.
Because it's not enough to just have like diverse characters.
Right.
You need diverse writers, directors, producers, the whole team.
Yeah, those decision makers, yeah. And we, as viewers, you know, we have a role to play too.
Absolutely.
You know, we can choose to support shows that are promoting, you know, diversity and inclusion.
Mm.
We can use our voices to advocate for more representation.
Right. Write to the networks. Talk about it on social media.
Yeah.
Even just like start conversations with your friends and family.
Yeah exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And don't underestimate the power of those conversations.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, for sure.
Talking to your kids about the importance of diversity and celebrating differences and challenging prejudice.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that can really make a difference.
Absolutely, it can.
It can help them understand that, you know, our differences are what make us unique.
Yeah.
And interesting. And that everyone deserves to be treated with respect, regardless of, you know, their background or identity.
It's about creating a culture of empathy, you know?
Yeah.
Where everyone feels like they belong.
Yeah, and media can play a really powerful role in shaping that culture.
Yeah.
Now, we've been talking about, you know, all the positive impacts of representation, but I wonder, are there any potential downsides? I mean, anything we should be, like, cautious about?
That's a good question. It's always good to be, you know, thinking critically about things,
right,
even when it's something as, you know, positive as this. And I guess one concern is that, like, if you overemphasize identity, it could lead to this, like, checklist mentality, you know?
That's interesting.
Where shows feel like they have to include a character from every single background,
right,
without actually developing those characters in a way that feels real.
Yeah, it's not just about, like, ticking boxes.
Right, exactly.
It's about creating characters that are authentic and nuanced that resonate with viewers. And it's about telling good stories, you know?
Yeah.
Stories that entertain, that educate, that inspire.
Yeah, diversity should add to the story, not like take away from it.
And maybe it's also worth thinking about, like, if we only focus on identity differences, could that actually, like, create new divisions or reinforce stereotypes?
That's a good point. It's tough, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because we want to, like, celebrate all these differences, but we also want to, like, bring people together.
It's foster that sense of shared humanity.
Yeah, so it's like, how do you find that that balance?
Yeah, that sweet spot where diversity and unity can kind of coexist.
Yeah, that's the real challenge, I think.
It's a complex issue, but one that's worth, like, really thinking about and wrestling with.
Definitely.
And at the end of the day, I think it comes down to approaching all of this with love and compassion.
That's a really nice way to put it. It's about remembering that we're all, you know, part of the same human family, and we all deserve to feel, you know, seen and heard and valued.
And maybe that's the most important message we can give to our kids. You know, representation really does matter.
It really does. And like we've been saying, it's not just about seeing, you know, people who look like you.
Right.
It's about seeing your experiences, your values, like your whole way of life, you know, reflected back at you in these stories. It's about feeling like you're seen and, you know, heard and understood.
You know, I was thinking back to the article, the one from the Church of Tinkerbell blog.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that the author said really stuck with me. They said, love is at the root of everything, love or the lack of it. And I just thought that was so powerful. And I think it applies to this whole conversation too, you know?
Yeah.
When we approach storytelling and really life in general with love and compassion, it just creates this space for, you know, inclusion and understanding and acceptance.
It's a good reminder that this is about way more than just entertainment, you know? It's about, like, actually shaping how kids see the world.
Right, exactly.
And helping them, you know, grow up to build a world where everyone feels like they belong.
Yeah, Yeah. And we all have a part to play in that, you know, whether we're parents or educators or, you know, people who make TV shows or just viewers.
Yeah.
So as we kind of wrap up, I just want to leave you with a final thought. Think back to your own childhood for a minute.
Okay.
What were the shows you watched? Did you see yourself in those characters? And how did that make you feel?
Yeah, because those really experiences with media can really like stick with you, you know? They affect how you see yourself and how you see the world. So it's good to like think back on that and see how it might have shaped your own, you know, perspective.
And maybe even more importantly, think about the messages that you're sending to the kids in your life now.
Mm-hmm.
What are they watching? Are they seeing, are those shows reflecting the, you know, the diverse world that we live in? And are those shows teaching them about kindness and empathy and inclusion?
Yeah, because ultimately, you know, it's up to us to create a media landscape that's celebrating diversity and promoting understanding.
Yeah.
And, you know, inspiring the next generation to build a better world.
Well said, well said. And on that note, we're going to wrap up this. Thank you so much for joining us on this this journey of exploration and reflection. We hope you've gained some new insights and that you'll continue this conversation.
Yeah, because this is just the beginning, right? Yeah. The conversation about representation is never really over, and it's something that, you know, we all need to be a part of. So keep asking those questions, keep challenging those assumptions, and keep trying to create a world where, you know, everyone feels valued and respected.
Couldn't have said it better myself. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Thanks for going on this little adventure with me today.
Anytime.
And listener, keep sprinkling that fairy dust, all right? We'll see you next time.